Well, Matthew Stafford has now missed a couple training camp practices, and the plan for the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford in L.A. has emerged, Pearl, according to Yahoo Sports and some others. It is Arch Manning. Good morning. How are you?
I don't like when you start the show by saying, how are you? Can we start with that?
Okay, well, I want to just, you know, be cordial. Good morning.
Okay.
6 o'clock Eastern.
Is that
time.
Wrong, by the way? Yeah, I know it's a Friday morning in the summer, too. I don't want to start on a negative note, but can we just not do the small talk and just.
I'm getting into
it. Well, you started with a great question. You got me fired up about Arch Manning, then you stop. Well, I'm fine. Do you want to know the answer?
I don't. I just want you to give me your thoughts on Arch Manning. I'm just doing that nice thing. Hi, good morning. What do you think about the Rams with the new. And I'll just lay it out for everybody. So here's the situation. Obviously, we know that everyone thinks Arch Manning is going to be the next great thing. And that he would be the presumed number one overall pick. Now, we have no idea if he's actually going to enter the NFL draft after the season. He's got to play this whole year at Texas, and a million things could happen. But what's emerged is that there are two teams specifically who are kind of like calling their shot, if you will.
Yeah.
It's the Browns, because Jimmy Haslam, their owner, is very close with the Mannings. Because of Tennessee, Peyton Manning specifically. And also, it's the Rams, because the GM of the Rams, his son, his stepson, goes to college with Arch, plays on the Longhorns football team. They're very tight, and McVay is close with the Mannings as well. So kind of two teams are calling their shot.
I mean, you're not going to say the Saints are just as much calling their shot?
That's fine, but here's where
these are reports, by the way. The Saints are all in, and the Giants, and the Jets, and there's about eight teams who are playing in Arch. That's my point. This is all ridiculous.
Okay, so the one thing that the Rams could potentially offer, first of all, it would have to be an Eli Manning situation. The Rams aren't going to have the number one pick unless something goes horrifically wrong in L.A. this season, and I don't think anyone believes the Rams are sitting on a two-win or three-win season. So they've got to make it messy, and they'd have to do that. Now, the Rams do have two first-round picks this upcoming draft because of that trade with the Atlanta Falcons from earlier this year. But you know what? Two first-round picks may not be enough to get Arch Manning, depending on how far down the draft they are. But here's what the Rams can offer that all those teams that you just mentioned. Who'd you mention? The Browns, the Jets, the Saints. All these. This is what the Rams
Giants.
Can offer Arch. More than the Giants. Sit behind Matthew Stafford for a year, just like Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith. We can give you NFL boot camp without you. First of all, he doesn't need the NIL money from Texas, obviously, with coming from such a rich family. And you can sit behind Stafford, and you can learn from Stafford and McVay and basically have a redshirt year in the NFL. That's what Sean McVay can offer to Arch Manning. And I think that's probably what the whole Manning family or Cooper or whoever is helping Arch make this decision, that could be very appealing to them.
Yeah, I see. My point is, like, this is all ridiculous. I mean, that the Rams are targeting Arch Manning. And yeah, that's a good point. But guess what? There's going to be 16 teams targeting Arch Manning, and they are going to be. They might make a great case, but it's not recruiting. The draft picks matter. And even Atlanta gave up their pick to get James Pierce, which was a crazy move.
Yeah.
But regardless, Atlanta has no incentive to tank at the end of the season because they don't have their pick. So they're going to be playing hard through week 18. They're probably trying to save Raheem Morris's job, is what I imagine. That's not going to be a high pick. So these two medium picks, that and combined with the fact that I will bet you huge show bet Arch Manning doesn't come out next year. So that's it. And the other thing, too, is, because, and I'll tell you why I don't think Arch is coming out. One, the history of the Mannings, they always stay. Secondly, he's making a ton of money at Texas, tax-free state, I might add, going to the Rams to take a pay cut.
Sure.
Why? There's no way. And also, I saw him at SEC Media Days. You did, too. He looks like a freshman in college who's rushing a fraternity. He looks like an NFL quarterback.
Well, 6'4", 215, but yeah.
He looks like a baby. He does not look like he's in any rush to get to the NFL. I am not buying this at all. I understand that they have this story with Charles Robinson and Yahoo. That's great. It's trying to use whoever on the Rams organization said, Charles, can you write this for us and get it out there? There's no, in my mind, there's no chance they can pull this off unless Stafford gets hurt. Then that's a different ballgame, I will give you. If they're terrible this year because of injuries, maybe. But no, this is all, why are we doing this? Fantasy talk.
Okay, well, is it, or if you're talking about people who have a connection to the Mannings, right?
Yeah, and about half the NFL has a connection to the Mannings.
That's fine, but these two specific teams, right? So let's just talk about the Rams or maybe the Browns. And these are the ones who have really put it out there through whether Colin Cowherd had the report about the Browns and they were really targeting Arch Manning, or now with the Rams. But just hear me out for a second. There are relationships and then those relationships. Right. There are ones that seem to be a bit deeper than others, right? Like you've got your inner circle and then you've got your acquaintances. Like, yeah, I'm sure the Mannings are acquaintances with everybody. I'm sure they have a relationship with people. But who's your inner, right? Who are the people who really know what you're thinking or really have an idea? And the way the article paints this is that perhaps the Rams do have more intel into this. Maybe they do have a little bit of a deeper understanding. Maybe the Browns do have a little bit of a deeper understanding. So these are the teams who think he's coming out next year.
Okay.
Now, you might think, no, we can look at the history of the Mannings. All that stuff is legit. It happened. I'm not telling you you're wrong. But if people who have a closer relationship than some, like who at the Saints right now? Like, yeah, I know the history of Archie and the Saints.
Why would you think that?
But what's going on with the Saints is a terrible organization. It's way worse than the Rams.
So his uncles are Eli and Peyton. You know how many relationships he has in the NFL? Peyton shadow runs about half the franchises. You don't think he has a relationship with the Colts? You don't think he has a relationship with the Broncos? You don't think? Of course he has a relationship with the Saints. And by the way, you're painting a situation in New York where you could possibly have Sark come with Arch Manning, too. Like, there's all sorts of...
Where, to the Giants?
Yeah, any team. Like, I just think there's so many opportunities around the NFL. The Rams seem like one of the least logical places to me.
Why?
Because they're going to pick 20th.
No, but if they pull an Eli, like, that's
the
thing.
Eli went from 4-1.
Right,
it's going to be an Eli.
I get it, but...
I mean, unless Atlanta is really, really bad... I just like that is way bigger than an Eli. I mean, that's like what was the biggest trade? What was Jared Goff? The Rams got up from way up, but generally, I think for Arch Manning, whoever is number one is going to ask for the moon and the sun.
Yeah.
So if Arch did come out, there's no way.
Comfortable with that, though. I guess here's the other part too about all the relationships, like the fact that you know Les Snead's stepson plays for the Longhorns and knows Arch Manning. You know. And they're friends. I kind of put more into that than just the fact that Peyton played for the Colts or Eli played for the Giants. Do you know Peyton and Eli, according to Arch, who said this recently, have never seen him play? They've never watched him. Peyton Manning said he's planning to go to watch a Texas game this year. That's what Arch said. So, I'm sure they're all, listen, why wouldn't you lean on your uncles, right? Why wouldn't you lean on, you know, 4 Super Bowl titles between your uncles? And of course, your dad has a intimate knowledge of how the NFL works. But is Eli coming in and saying, hey, I think you should go to the Giants? Or Peyton's coming in saying, hey, I think you should go to the Colts? I don't think so. I think what are the relationships that Arch actually has as opposed to what your uncles have?
Well, they didn't influence him to go to Tennessee or Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Right, because Arch said he wanted to go to a bigger city because he felt a little bit like a fishbowl.
So if there's like a preview of what the NFL could look like, maybe he doesn't have that kind of influence when it comes to talking about the Giants or, you know, the Colts.
And by the way, maybe the uncle shouldn't. Like, Arch is his own guy. He should make his own decisions
if he
can.
Just for this one report to assume you know everybody, that Arch Manning, they run the Manning Passing Academy. They have the entire league filters through the Mannings. That you guys think that this is like, it's just the Rams and the Browns that know Arch. I can't buy that at all. Let me tell you the teams that are at the bottom of the Super Bowl odds. The Saints are the worst. Then the Titans are not drafting a quarterback. Then the Browns have a relationship. The Giants have a relationship. The Jets, I know that the Mannings have an issue with the Jets, but who knows? The Panthers, that'd be a great spot. The Colts, the Raiders. I mean, these teams are all the teams that have a chance to have number one. I'm not talking about trading up from 14-1. All these teams can make a compelling case to Arch.
I don't know. I don't know how the Panthers have a good spot, but
Carolina? Oh my God. I mean, that feels like it'd be an amazing spot. That's a huge growth opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. So here's my question about how you think this is going to go. So you think Arch is not coming? He'll play this year at Texas and he'll play next year at Texas.
I think so. I mean, the only thing is the 27 draft is utterly loaded and the 26 is somewhat empty.
Okay, so you're not sure. So you
I'm not 1,000% sure, but I would lean that he's going back.
Okay, and what happens? You think that whoever just earns the number one pick that year by having virtue of having the best record, they just draft Arch Manning. That's it.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So you think this thing just goes totally by the book?
Well, it wouldn't be by the book because most people don't stay if they're going to be the number one pick. It's a little unusual, right? I think he'd be one of the rare guys to go back.
Well, Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, that was 1998.
Yeah. Okay, you think it goes by the book and the fact that the Mannings don't try to manipulate where Arch will go. Well, you think it's just pretty straightforward? He graduates from college or whatever, he goes into the draft, and whoever has the number one pick, congratulations.
I just think the odds are that some team is going to have a connection to the Manning. And I would do a massive show bet he's not a Rams quarterback in 2 years or whatever. When is next year's draft?
Yeah.
I would do a huge show bet that he's not a Los Angeles Ram in 2026. It seems like you think...
I don't know if it's the Rams. The Browns don't really seem like a real stable organization to me. They always find the banana peel. Look what's going on right now with the organization. So whether his uncle has a deep relationship with the owner, that probably wouldn't be enough to sway me. Now,
McVay, it's not college recruiting. It's the NFL draft.
Well, but the Mannings are different. But Sean McVay, that's something that would probably interest me if I were Arch.
Of course. Yeah, you know what? If I was Arch, I'd want to go to the Eagles or the Chiefs, too. Like, it doesn't matter. It's the NFL. Like, I think that you're treating it like it's going to be so easy for all these teams. You know what? Let's look at the best situation around the NFL. Stafford's retiring, and McVay is coach. You know they're expected to win 10.5 games this year.
Listen, Pearl, if I hadn't seen it before, mm-hmm. I would tell you maybe you're crazy. But
they went from 4-1.
You're also somebody, though, who always says, guys, more guys should do this. This is the only leverage you have coming out of college. This is, you know, the draft system is corrupted. It's not corrupt, but it's unfair. It is inherently un-American. It is all the things. You hate the draft. You always want to blow up the draft. But now, well, you love watching the draft and talking about it, but you don't like the concept of it because of how limiting it is. People should just be able to go where they want. You've told me that 100 times. Why would Arch do it? He's going to have the most leverage of anybody.
So you think this really might happen? Like, say the Rams pick 19.
I just think that the Mannings are going to be involved here. I do. I think that Arch is going. I don't think whoever has the number one pick, if it's not a franchise they trust, I think that's just the jumping off point for negotiations is where I land.
According to Oz, Atlanta would be about the 12th pick, and the Rams would be the 24th pick. You think that'll do it?
No, I think it's going to have to be future first. I think it's going to have to be sun, moon, and stars. It's going to have to be something unbelievable. And it's going to have to be Arch saying, I'm not going to show up. Like what Eli Manning said, I'm not going to come to San Diego.
So we're talking more of a Kobe situation.
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to be something like that.
Okay, I'm so confident that's not going to happen. I think your best chance is Atlanta's terrible and you get in the top 10. But I really don't think that's happening. Also, back to Arch. Arch making so much money at Texas. Like, it's going to be, he might be like, well, you know what? Stafford's retiring this year. If he really wanted to go to the Rams, you just wait, go back to Texas. I assume the Rams are probably, this is last year of Stafford, according to the negotiations. Like, it didn't go well this summer.
Right.
So
he's got
maybe
a back issue,
just
hasn't practiced.
Wait on the Rams. And even so, there's a lot going on here.
But how do you wait on the Rams if this is
go
his
back
last
into
year?
Go back into the draft in 27.
Arch is coming out.
But if this is Stafford's last year, why would you want to come out in 26?
No, because the Rams will be terrible and they'll be a top pick.
Got it. Okay, so they'd be so bad after Stafford retires that they'd have a 3-win, 4-win season and have a shot at the number one.
Arch Manning.
And by the way, you think that Arch Manning would look at New Orleans with the number one pick next year and say, I'm coming into the draft, but I'm not going there.
Then go to LSU.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, what, the Saints might get sold?
Yeah, the Saints are going to have a blank slate. They're going to pick any coach you want or go with Kellen Moore. And yeah, I think that's a very attractive situation. And it's indoors. I mean, that is a place where you can put up massive numbers, where you can build a winner. I mean, Saints over Cleveland and play outside in the AFC North?
Well, Cleveland, no thanks. I'm doing a no thanks. I didn't even think that Deion wanted Shador to go to Cleveland, but that's how the chips fell.
What if Colin Cowherd's report is right and they hire Nick Saban?
That was the Colin Cowherd. That was the opinion part, I think, of his report, right? The report was that there's this deep connection between the Mannings and Jimmy Haslam, but was the opinion Nick Saban? I can't remember. Colin kind of presented it as the whole thing was fact. But if Nick Saban went back to Cleveland, where he was an assistant coach under Bill Belichick, that would entice Arch Manning. But here's why I'm a raised eyebrow on that from Cowherd. Arch Manning was coming out of high school and could have went to Alabama and played for Nick Saban. He went and visited Alabama. He didn't want to go to Tuscaloosa. I think he said because he felt like it'd be a little too much of a fishbowl. He thought Austin was a little bit bigger city. He could maybe blend in a little more. I mean, good luck. But I understand the logic. Couldn't he have already played for Nick Saban and he already passed on it once?
Unless they're worse coaches to play for.
No,
the
there are. I get it. But he could have just easily gone to Alabama and played for Nick Saban.
You know what the funny thing, too? Here's another prediction. If he gets into the 27 draft, he will not go number one. Because he's going to be sitting there with the monster, Jeremiah Smith, and with our guy, DJ Lagway. That'd be really interesting. I think you could have like a Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning situation. And here's the other thing, too. We always know the number one pick's going to need a quarterback. Not necessarily. That's happened in a lot of drafts. We'll see. I mean, I think Arch Manning is a guaranteed top three pick, but I don't think it's going to play out nearly as simply as you are playing
out. The way I'm saying is it's going to be messy. He's going to have to manipulate the draft. It's not getting, and Eli got messy. It got very awkward, but they did it.
But you also just said that Eli has no influence, basically.
No, what the Mannings pulled, not to make him to go to New York.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So why do you think he's going to do exactly like an Eli if he's not really being driven by Peyton and Eli?
Because I don't think Eli wanted to pull an Eli. I think that was the family who was... I don't think Eli Manning was like, oh, shucks, guys, I don't want to go to San Diego. I think the family was like, you're not going to the Chargers, you're going to go to the Giants.
So Archie's running the show.
Or...
Olivia, maybe.
I would guess Olivia.
Yeah.
The matriarch.
I just think that this is all TBD, and I think there's going to be... 20 teams that emerge over out of 32, 20 out of 32, two-thirds of the league emerges with a connection to Arch Manning in the next 6 months. I mean, just the Rams. I mean, why not, you know, if we're going to do the Rams, we might as well do my Philadelphia Eagles. Who else at the top of the draft? The Chiefs, all the Niners, all the great teams will probably be in on them. There's no way the Rams is happening. Sorry.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So there you go. Rams connection to Arch Manning. And do you think he's going to come out after this season, no matter how it goes at Texas? 888-710-4ISN. Okay, lots to do, including the passing of a larger-than-life figure. Of course, we're talking about Hulk Hogan. Get into that next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Of course, that is Hulk Hogan's theme song. Big news yesterday, Hulk Hogan passes. It was a crazy news day. I think that it's funny that it's pro wrestling, but it led all the sports sites all day long, led SportsCenter every time. Obviously, Hulk Hogan crosses over from pro wrestling into mainstream sports.
Yeah, to say that a legacy is complicated too would be an understatement, because there's the Hulk Hogan, I think, that we all remember from our childhood, Pearl, for me for sure, the biggest figure, you know, that probably existed in pop culture. I was actually thinking about this. Let me circle back to that for a second. So you have the Hulkster, right? And you have Hulk, who I think we all remember was such an influential and big figure in our childhood. And then the sort of, you know, mask coming off of who Terry Bollea was, the real Hulk Hogan, and getting caught on tape saying racist things, which certainly, and then never really owning it and apologizing for it in a way that was meaningful, I think really sat with people. So you have, of course it did, so you have these like two things wrapped up in this one person, in this one figure. And, you know, the last time that he was out at WWE, I think it was the last time, was the LA show where they announced they were moving to Netflix. And he got booed mercilessly by the hardcore WWE crowd. I mean, those are his people. That's, you know, you'd think his base, if you will. And it was no doubt boos. This is what it sounded like.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. You know something, Maniacs? I've been in this business for over 40 years, and the greatest part of my life was being part of this great WWE, guys.
Yeah, it got worse when he found out he was promoting a new beer company. People really started to boo. But he also is meaningful for people, Pearl, because I think it's how does it make you feel, you know, remembering back to your childhood, those Saturday mornings, you know, all the millions and millions of people who tune in to watch him body slam Andre the Giant, him being in your favorite movie franchise, the Rocky franchise. No Holds Barred was the other movie. And I saw Peter Rosenberg yesterday call them the Babe Ruth of wrestling. Like, wrestling can't exist without Hogan. And I totally agree. I had this thought yesterday when I saw that Hogan passed away. And tell me if you guys think this is true. when he was at his peak in popularity, mid-80s, early 90s, was he as well-known worldwide as, like, the image of Mickey Mouse?
No.
I don't know.
Was he ever, well, forget Mickey Mouse, but was he ever like a top three most famous person in the world?
I think he may have been. The world was, I think, a little bit, I don't say the world was smaller then, because it's obviously smaller now, we're way more connected. But those cultural touchstones, I think, broke in a way that it's not so fractured like it is now.
Well, I think when Hulk sort of took over in like 84, he beat the Iron Sheik, right? There was a big deal that they got the 11:30 slot on NBC or something. It wasn't like he was challenging Michael Jackson for world relevance.
But maybe in the U.S. it was like a Michael Jackson, Madonna kind of Hulk Hogan.
It was a huge, no. He was a huge deal, but like Madonna and Michael Jackson were way, way bigger.
Well, they're also exporting music that lives on forever and ever and ever, right? And like what was Hulk was exporting, like what was that? You know, it's like it's a different art form than music.
If you Google icons from the 80s, I don't think he's going to be high up on the list.
Really?
I mean, it'd be, because you're talking about like Madonna. Michael Jackson is one of the most famous human beings to ever live on planet Earth.
Agreed.
I mean, I think Hulk's a big deal, but not like that.
I'm just saying the image of that Hulk Hogan, like the image of him, I was thinking Mickey Mouse. I was thinking like Super Mario Brothers, like things that you could show to a child anywhere in the world may know, like Pokemon. I don't know, like these massive pop culture things. I feel like the mustache with the bandana, the rip in the shirt, the yellow and red. I felt like it was up there.
I don't know that WWF at the time was really cross over the ocean as much back then in 1984. Like in England, did they know Hulk Hogan? I don't know, but I know that the WWE is really popular internationally now, but I don't remember it being like, it was like a nascent phenomenon back then.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite, I think wrestling has grown a lot since 1984. You know, the funny thing too about, you mentioned all the out of the ring stuff.
Yeah.
Like I kind of lost track of Hulk Hogan 1987. Like, I honestly,
a lot
like,
happened after.
I think of Hulk Hogan, I immediately think of beating the Iron Sheik as a kid was like the most like amazing thing ever. I had no idea about anything that happened afterwards. I vaguely knew about the Gawker lawsuit, but I saw the Vince McMahon lawsuit and I was like, wow, he kept wrestling for a long time. It was brand new to me.
I know, Pearl. Wait a minute, what happened to Hulk Hogan? It's like, a lot happened to Hulk Hogan.
EJ,
you're a massive wrestling fan. Curious to know your thoughts on passing of Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the Babe Ruth thing. That's actually ironic. I actually said that on my podcast yesterday. I felt like, to me, he's like the Babe Ruth of wrestling. And it's not in the sense that he's a figure we've never seen before, but that to me, like, Babe Ruth, there's no one more synonymous with baseball than Babe Ruth. Similarly, I think there's no one more synonymous with wrestling than Hulk Hogan. What he did for wrestling and where it is today, it would not be where it is today if it's not for Hulk Hogan. His legacy from that standpoint is, you know,
unassailable
as Teflon. It's the personal stuff, it's the Terry Bollea person that I think makes things very difficult for a lot of fans and a lot of people who grew up loving Hulk Hogan. I always say, like, my introduction to wrestling was Hulk Hogan wrestling Karl Malone. that's literally why I became a wrestling fan, and then wrestling Goldberg. Like, these are the first shows I ever watched as a kid. So that's me as a wrestling fan who loved Hulk Hogan growing up. And then when the stuff happened with the Gawker lawsuit and in the tapes where he's saying these racist things, it changed his view for a lot of people, because Hulk Hogan was like the image of positivity. Like, you know, he always talked about people saying peace, love, positivity. He really was trying to present that as his character. And the thing about wrestlers are, in many ways, they live the gimmick.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we don't separate the wrestler from the man. Like when we have Seth Rollins on, we don't say, hey, Kobe Lopez is coming on the show. We
or look at John Cena. I mean, Cena's, I think, benefited from this as being the good guy, the face, and all the make-a-wish things that he does. Like, he really lives the good part, but he definitely benefits from being the baby face.
Yeah.
One thing, though, we always separate the person from the wrestler. Like, I got to be honest, most of my generation's favorite wrestler is Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and he killed someone.
Yeah.
And
nobody
even mentions that. Like, who's your favorite wrestler? Just talk to my friend. I'm like, oh, Snuka for sure.
So
the two have completely separate. Like, most people I watch a lot of A&E wrestling documentaries, and their lives are bananas. Every single one of them.
The fact that Hogan actually lived to be 71, considering all whatever he was putting in his body, because his muscles are cartoonish. I mean, it's insane that we were exporting kind of Hulk Hogan as like, this is the perfect American. Yeah. It's like, whoa, nobody would live up to that or could. It's a caricature.
I recently saw a clip of Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage going to the nicest restaurant in Miami and ordering water steaks. Have you ever heard of that clip?
No.
It's unbelievable. Like the wrestlers off, this is not to excuse them at all, but like their personal lives are beyond messes. They're loaded on drugs, steroids, alcohol. Yeah. I mean, I just think that more older people don't know the new stuff, because I think like you follow most people, except in this building, follow wrestling a certain part of their lives and might move on. I think a lot of people a lot of older fans don't know the Hulk Hogan new stuff, I would say.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I would say I think that Gawker story was a massive story. And I think when you see, you know, the reaction online yesterday, where there are some people who are, you know, saying, hey, you know, RIP, you know, we lost an icon. And then there's a whole swath of people that are almost celebrating, or not even almost, they are celebrating almost his death. I think it speaks to what I think is the awareness of Hulk Hogan. And I want to say this real quick, too. I think for Hulk, it was not just that video, I think, that, you know, people are outraged by in terms of his character. I think it was things we learned about how he was in terms of doing business with other folks.
Yeah.
Whether it was burying other wrestlers, whether it was busting unions, whether it was the kind of self-serving things we learned about him behind the scenes, and then stuff that happened in his personal life moving on. He had allegations of racism just last year, where he fired allegedly fired a black brand manager because she learned. Ambassador, because she learned she was black, and then hired two white women to replace her after he met her. So these are stories that continue. So this is why I think his legacy has become, you know, messy.
Yeah.
If he was a character where I think maybe we would expect it, like his character as a wrestler was this over the top positive person, you know, and then when you see there's a lot of darkness behind that, I think that's where the dichotomy makes it difficult for a lot of folks.
Absolutely. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You're welcome to weigh in on the life and legacy of Hulk Hogan.
By the way, I looked up just because I was like, wow, most iconic. He's Ranker, the website that ranks, he has him as the 43rd most famous person from the 80s, which is pretty good for a wrestler. But like Mr. T, I think, was way more iconic.
Mm. Who's number one on that list? Like Reagan? Or something?
No, it's somebody we met. I think it's Michael Jackson. Hold on. Michael Jackson. I mean, like, yeah, Michael Jackson. Oh, this is funny. Michael Jackson, Michael J. Fox. I mean, huge. Bruce Willis, Whitney Houston, Madonna, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's the one. I would say Mr. T and Arnold Schwarzenegger are right there. Like, that's kind of what we're talking about, right? Like, action hero kind of guy. I would say Schwarzenegger probably a little bigger. Did Schwarzenegger ever get in the ring?
He did stuff for WWE. Definitely. I think he's a WWE Hall of Famer.
Because remember, wrestling before and after Hulk, it was not that big at 84. It was kind of like Saturday at 11 a.m. It wasn't a primetime sport until he came along. So I'm not sure how famous he was. But that being said, I'm curious from callers, like, I think many, many people don't know about the other side. And a lot of people aren't online. This was 39 years ago that he beat the Iron Sheik, for example. Like, you know, there's definitely, like, I'm assuming a lot of people who saw that match are not on your social media feed, EJ.
But then I think there are folks, too, who, you know, who were trying to celebrate Hulk that kept saying, regardless of what you think about the person, like, I think even his fans.
The art versus the artist.
Yeah, and I think
his
fans know about it. You know, it's more about, you know, hey, we want to look past this to celebrate the art, right? So, you know, Hulk has a lot of fans. I think if you followed Hulk Hogan, and then that's millions and millions of people, there's awareness of some of this other stuff.
Memories of Hulk Hogan, you are welcome to them at 888-710-4ISN. Welcome to share them. Bogish has headlines for us. Did we just steal your lead?
You did not.
Okay.
Headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com.
Whoop.
It turns out that EJ doesn't need yet to come up with a catchphrase for tanking for Garrett Nussmeier. Justin Fields is okay for now. No Achilles tear, no foot amputation, no...
Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
None of that stuff. The Jets QB suffered only a dislocated toe yesterday morning at training camp. There is no break, no other major damage. Fields may miss a chunk of the summer, but the Jets apparently hopeful he'll be fine in time for week one. The Raiders have released D-tackle Christian Wilkins and voided the remaining $35 million he was guaranteed. So Wilkins files a grievance with the union, who promptly ruled in the team's favor. The Raiders, the Raiders reportedly don't think Wilkins was trying hard enough to recover from a foot injury suffered last October. That's why they want their money back.
By the way, did you guys see that video of him dancing in the thing?
To the Backstreet Boys or whatever?
I feel like the Raiders saw that video and was like, get this guy out of here.
His foot seemed fine in the video. I mean, obviously it's a little different when you're out there battling against the Chargers, but he looked pretty spry.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me wonder, like, is he going to fight this and be like, hey, like, I'm working, and clearly I'm showing I'm getting better, so what's going on? That video was crazy.
The Athletic story says the injury is supposed to only take 3 or 4 months to recover from. It happened in October, and he had the surgery right away, so he should have been theoretically okay, like, early in 2025. Mm. And when they got to, like, March and April, he was doing nothing still on the field. And I guess they told him to have another procedure. And he said no. So it's basically like, I think they're accusing him of just like sitting around and collecting checks. And that's why they don't want to give him anymore.
Sounds nice.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this before. Like,
a team wanting a guy to get surgery and him not getting it?
A guy getting hurt and then feeling like he's not recovering. Like, and then taking his guaranteed money?
Right. Like, he's not trying to get better. Yeah, it's a very heavy accusation.
Right. Like, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying this feels almost unprecedented to me. Like, a guy is getting cut and they're saying that we also don't owe him his guaranteed money because he got injured and he's actually not trying to get better. How many guys have we seen in all sports get hurt and they're just like albatrosses for however long, they're on the team?
This is an interesting one. We're going to talk about the Raiders a little bit more at the top of the hour. What else you got, folks?
The Seattle Mariners got a head start on the trade deadline last night, sending two pitching prospects to Arizona for first baseman Josh Naylor. The M's need more pop in their lineup, but they were okay last night in Anaheim.
There goes Cal. Pitch on the way. Swinging a line shot deep down the left field line. Has it enough? Yes, it is. Goodbye, baseball. It clears the short fence in the left field corner. A rocket line drive. Two-run home run off the bat of Randy Arozarena.
That's Rick Riz on Mariners Radio. Arozarena with one of Seattle's three homers in a 4-2 win over the Angels. The Mariners now a half game up on the Red Sox for the second wild card spot in the AL. The Tigers still struggling, 11-4 losers at home to the Blue Jays. They've now dropped 10 of 11. The A's win in Houston 5-2, and the Cardinals outscored the Padres 9-7. Kansas men's basketball coach Bill Self had two stents inserted yesterday after dealing with, quote, some concerning symptoms. He is doing well now. Should be out of the hospital soon, according to the school. Self missed the 2023 Big 12 and NCAA tournaments with a heart issue. And still no Caitlin Clark for the Fever, but they beat the Aces last night, 80-70. Kelsey Mitchell scoring 21. The team said pregame Clark remains out indefinitely with that groin injury. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. I want to get to you guys a bit on the phones. And Tom's in Huntsville, Alabama, were asking for your memories of Hulk Hogan, complicated legacy for that man. What's up, Tom? How are you?
Hey, good morning and happy Friday.
Thanks, same to you.
I was just thinking my first real glimpse of Hulk was early 80s, 82, 83, when he was in the Rocky, I guess that was Rocky III movie, as Thunderlips. And he was a very young Hulk Hogan then, still had a full head of hair. and hadn't got in much trouble yet, was much bigger than he was. That was early in the non-steroid era,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, uh-huh. He threw Rocky out of the ring. Can't do that.
Oh, he did. And then and then Rocky threw him out of the ring.
That's true.
By the way,
both guys on steroids.
Tom, I was looking at a picture. His hair was already pretty much gone
then, too. He's never really never had much hair.
They must have just added. Yes, nah. It was thin. It was thin, yes.
Yeah.
Hair technology has come a long way since the 80s.
Yes, it has.
That amount of bleach, though, iconic. To put in your hair. Yeah. Sorry. No, go ahead.
I was thinking iconic wrestlers. Hogan was definitely huge for the WWF and then the WWE. But as far as iconic wrestlers, you can't even mention wrestling without saying Ric Flair.
That's a funny one.
He is by far, yeah.
The more famous one. Thank you so much for the call. Another bleach blonde with Ric Flair. Do we even put that up as a poll question? Pearl, you always have your thumb kind of on the pulse of how you think these results are going to go. If you put up who's the more famous wrestler, Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair?
Hulk Hogan.
I think it's Hogan, too, but Tom brings up a good point. I also saw a little of this on social media, which is like the idea that Ric Flair has, you know, outlived everybody is just like amazing, considering Flair's
serious health issues.
Yeah, he almost died.
I know. And hardcore life. Times. Hardcore life for Ric Flair.
I think we could say that for every pro wrestler, pretty much. I think it would go Hulk 1, and I think Andre the Giant would challenge Ric Flair. I mean, Hulk's got to be one. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are doing rankings now.
Okay,
also the name Hulk Hogan. It's just iconic.
Can we put that poll up with him and The Rock? I don't know if that's just because of the generations, and they overlapped for a minute, right?
But not as a wrestler.
They had a great match. They had one of the greatest matches.
Yeah, but because Rock became the number one actor in the country, though, right? Not because Rock was so iconic as a wrestler.
What's funny, though, is I had a discussion about this yesterday, and my friend made a good point that the Rock was almost too good at wrestling, which is why he is now the Rock. Like, he was so over as a wrestler. He had to become a movie star. He outgrew wrestling. So when you think of it, I would put Hulk ahead of him, but when you think of it from that standpoint, like The Rock's main run before he became Hollywood is only 7 years. That's it. But not his main run, just period. That's how long he wrestled before he became basically the guy we know now.
Quick question, though. Wasn't Steve Austin probably more iconic than The Rock, though?
They're like, you know, Magic and Bird.
I mean,
in many ways, they're one and the same coin.
Well, the Hulk was like, as Maggie started, like the sun and the moon. He was gigantic.
888-710-4ISN. So got a couple things out there. Of course, memories of Hulk Hogan, if you want to weigh in on that. Also, this idea that Arch Manning will come out after this year, enter the NFL draft. And it looks like the connections to the Rams are now taking center stage because Arch is very good friends with the GM's stepson, who also plays at the University of Texas. And would Arch forego a senior season at Texas to learn behind Matthew Stafford? Maybe that is something that could be appealing to the Mannings. 888-710-4ISN. It's M&P. Man, yesterday was just too much. This is the music of Chuck Mangione, who also passed away yesterday. The jazz musician, fun fact, from Rochester, New York.
There you go.
Oh, some garbage plates.
There you go.
Chuck Mangione certainly had a garbage plate or two. I actually was trying to compile a list yesterday, Pearl, and welcome back to the show, that of the top five craziest things that happened yesterday alone.
Do you have it? I'm dying.
I do. But I didn't have Chuck Mangione, so I guess he's like an also receiving votes, which I feel kind of sad about.
Well, Chuck Mangione dying at 84, it sounds like he led a great life. I don't know if that's crazy or unexpected.
That's true. So maybe he'll be like an also receiving votes, like on the outside. It's not crazy so much as notable.
Notable, right, yes. Right. But yeah, I think you have actual crazy.
I do have some things that were genuinely shocking yesterday. I mean, I'll take a little music underneath this, Manny, if you have it. If not, no worries. Okay, so this is just things that happened yesterday. Number five on the list is President Trump issuing an executive order that he's saving college football. That happened yesterday, Pearl.
Yeah.
There is an executive order now that kind of aligns really with the NCAA. A lot of the stuff in it I like, especially the ideas about preserving women's sports and the Olympic sports and things like that. Other things that I don't know if they're going to hold up, if they are sent to court, which is, not allowing, caps on name, image, and likeness, not allowing the student athletes or the athletes to form a union, stuff like that. I'm not sure it's going to hold up in the long run, but that's the fifth craziest thing that happened yesterday.
Yeah, I do not like this.
Okay.
I feel like this is major. I'm going to become a libertarian. It's major government interference where it does not belong. But go ahead.
Well, there's no law here. It's an executive order. So they're hoping for legislation. That's what the NCAA wants. But this is, so we'll see how much teeth it really has. But that literally happened yesterday. So that's number five. Number four on the list of crazy thing that happened yesterday is we thought Justin Fields may have lost a foot yesterday. The reports that came out when we were still on the air yesterday morning was carted off the field, limping. This felt, we were wondering, is it an Achilles? Is it a hamstring? Turns out it's a dislocated toe. So, whoosh, you know, dodged a bullet there. But it was dicey for a moment.
Yeah, but this is a way, it's almost your worst case scenario because he's going to be playing it 87% throughout the season. You know how toes are, right? He's not bad enough to bench him, but enough to annoy him forever.
And he's a mobile quarterback who, you know, uses his legs a lot.
But by the way, it was not the big toe. I love that detail.
Which toe was it?
It's not the big, because the big toe is one of the most important things in sports.
Especially for a quarterback.
I don't know. They've given no details on what actually happened here.
Huh, that's funny. I just assumed the big toe, but you know what assumptions do.
I heard something that it might have been the right side of the foot. I think it might have been a dislocated pinky.
Yeah, but
pinky
not
toe, man.
But is it broken, though?
Dislocated.
Yeah, what is... gross. Ugh. Okay, Maggie, so, if you were a quarterback with those giant clompers, you would break that. Someone would step on that every play.
My toe's like a femur. My feet are so big. Okay, the third craziest thing that happened yesterday was, did you guys see that Bill Self was in the hospital and had to get two stents in?
Bogey just told us.
He just told us, but maybe if you're just joining us, you may not have heard that. Bill Self was rushed to the hospital, but thank God he's going to be okay. The second craziest thing that happened yesterday, I think, was not just that the Raiders released Christian Wilkins after they just gave him $100 million a year ago, was that the Raiders' statement claims that they're doing this because they have a commitment to excellence. Now, that is hilarious. That's always been a ruse. What's excellent about the Raiders now?
Just win. Just win, baby.
Yeah. That was a long time ago, that just win, baby. And commitment to excellence, I don't know. Fell short. And number one, of course, is Hulk Hogan passing away. Crazy. That's all things that just happened yesterday, Pearl.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I think you missed one.
I did?
The report that a player on Memphis gave the entire game plan to the UT San Antonio quarterback.
I'm sorry, I completely missed that. I'll take one of these out. Did you want to fill people in on that?
So,
craziness.
I hope I have this right, okay? This comes, On Three was making a big deal of it yesterday. There was direct message conversations between Ra'el and UTSA quarterback Owen McGowan, and one of them, I'm sorry, shared the entire game plan with his friend on the other team. He left the team in October, but source close to Memphis tells Tiger Sports Report that he was dismissed, and he had a motive, therefore, and sent the game plan to the opposing team. The game ended up being 44-36.
I'm sorry, did you say Owen McGowan?
I think it's McCown.
Owen McCown, sorry.
Owen that sounds McCown. Like that'd a wrestling
a,
name.
That'd be a heck of a name.
Like Owen name. Hart's like evil twin is just Owen McGowan.
Yeah, like so I was actually wondering, like, is that fraud? Probably not, but it definitely is not something you, could you get in trouble for that? And I don't, like, really.
I mean, I'm like, scared that, is this happening a lot?
Well, I
it
mean.
Feels like it could.
The only reason it's scary is because, like, in the betting world, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do people deserve to get their money back if they bet on that game and their bet was a loser?
Yeah, this is bad.
And here's my thing is, what was the motivation?
I think he was kicked dismissed. Off the team.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So he was just had a grudge.
A scorned lover.
Oh, man.
And how many guys get cut from college football teams all the time? Like, I feel like this could be very pervasive.
Yeah, right. There's playbooks going around all over the place. So I'm sorry, I missed one. Six, seven crazy things happened literally just yesterday. Get it back into the Raiders next.